Recorded Books and One Click Digital present Beastly Bones, a Jacobi novel by William Ritter. Narrated by Nicola Barber. Chapter 1.
Follow my lead, Miss Rook, Jacobi said, rapping on the ornately trimmed door to 1206 Campbell Street.
Were my employer a standard private investigator, those might have been simple instructions. But in the time I've been his assistant, I've found very little about Jacobi to be standard. Following his lead tends to call for a somewhat flexible relationship with reality. Tall and lanky, Jacobi swam in his long brown coat. It looked like it might have once been an expensive garment, but it was now battered and affixed inside and out with myriad clinking, jingling pockets and pouches, each loaded with trinkets and tools he insisted were essential to his work. Around his neck, he had wound a ludicrously long scarf, the ends of which brushed the cobblestones as he walked. On his head, stuffed over a dark mess of wild hair, was the main offender. Jacobi's cap, the knit monstrosity, was a patternless composite of uneven stitches and colours. The threads clashed with his scarf, they clashed with his coat, they even clashed with one another. Alone on a hat rack, the thing would have looked mismatched. Jacobi was not an ugly man. He kept himself clean-shaven and always seemed to smell of cloves and cinnamon. In a fine suit and tie, he might have been downright attractive to the right sort of girl. But in his preferred garb, he looked like an eccentric lunatic. He was fond of reminding me that appearances aren't everything, but I dare say they aren't nothing either. My employer can be single-minded about some things. Most things, in fact. The woman who answered the door appeared far too overwhelmed by her own concerns to bother about silly hats anyway. Jacobi and I soon found ourselves ushered past the threshold and into an elegantly furnished sitting room. The house looked like so many of the regal English manors to which my mother had dragged me as a child. My father was a bit of an explorer. You may have read about the intrepid Daniel Rook, but my mother much preferred tradition and civility. Mother took full advantage of my father's notoriety to find her way into countless London garden parties, and she brought me along in the hopes that a little exposure would make me wish to be a proper lady as well. It generally made me wish instead that I could go outside and play in the dirt like my father. In some ways, there was really nothing new about New England. Our current hostess looked as though she would have fit very comfortably into my mother's social circles. She introduced herself as Florence Beaumont and offered to take our coats. Jacobi flatly declined for both of us. I would have preferred he hadn't, as the heat of the chamber was a sharp contrast to the breeze outside. The spring of 1892 had arrived in New Fiddleham, but it had not yet fully chased away the last of the winter winds. Mrs. Beaumont led us to a small alcove at the rear of the room. Within the recess were a pile of blankets, a little pink collar with a bell on the front, and a set of silver bowls perched on white doilies. In one bowl was a bit of what looked to be leftover tuna, and in the other were water, a great deal of cat hair, and a live fish. The fish circled uncomfortably, being nearly as wide as the bowl itself. Jacobi squatted, resting his forearms on his knees and staring into the water. He watched the fish take a few cramped laps, studying its movements, and then he plucked a bit of damp cat hair from the rim, sniffed it, tasted it, and tucked it into a pocket somewhere in the depths of his coat. I whipped out the little black notepad Jacobi had given me upon the completion of our first case, trying not to let Mrs. Beaumont see that I was still on the very first page. "Your message said something about a sick cat?" I prompted the woman, while my employer poked at the sticky pile of leftovers in the other bowl. "I'm sure Mr. Jacobi will want to see the animal." The woman's lip quivered.
"Mrs. Wiggles."
"Yes, and where is Mrs. Wiggles now?" Mrs. Beaumont tried to answer, but she managed only a sort of squeak I could not decipher, and gestured toward the alcove.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?